As for Coughlin, his problems accelerated as he became ever more of an economic radical and ever more sympathetic to the actual name-brand foreign fascism of Mussolini and Hitler. His anti-Semitism, evident even when Roosevelt and New Deal liberals welcomed his support, likewise became ever more pronounced. During the war, FDR ordered his Justice Department to spy on Coughlin with the aim of silencing him. How much electoral support Long, the Coughlinites, and the rest would have garnered had Long survived to challenge Roosevelt at the polls remains a matter of academic speculation, but it is somewhat irrelevant to the larger point. These populist leftists framed the public debate. That Coughlin garnered 40 million listeners in a nation of only 127 million, and that his audience was largest when he was calling the New Deal Christ's deal, should tell us something about the nature of FDR's appeal and Coughlin's. Even those New Dealers who despised Long and Coughlin believed that if they didn't steal their thunder, Huey Long and Father Coughlin might take it over. What's more, there was precious little daylight between the substantive ideas and motivations of street or country fascists like Long and Coughlin and those of the more rarefied intellectuals who staffed the Roosevelt administration. Remembering the Forgotten Man. One can easily make too much of the parallel chronology of Hitler's and Roosevelt's tenures, but it is not a complete coincidence that they both came to power in 1933. Though obviously very different men, they understood many of the same things about politics in the mass age. Both owed their elections to the perceived exhaustion of traditional liberal politics, and they were the two world leaders who most successfully exploited new political technologies. Roosevelt most famously utilized the radio, and the Nazis quickly aped the practice. FDR broke with old tradition to fly to the Democratic National Convention to accept his party's nomination. The imagery of him flying, a man of action, rather than sitting on the porch and waiting for the news, was electrifying, as was Hitler's brilliant use of planes, most famously in Leni Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will. Take away the text of the New Deal, Soviet and Nazi propaganda posters and other artwork, and it's almost impossible to tell whether the bulging biceps laborers are the new Soviet man, the new Nazi man, or the New Deal man. Max Lerner observed in 1934, "The most damning blow that the dictatorships have struck at democracy has been the compliment they have paid us in taking over and perfecting our most prized devices of persuasion and our underlying contempt for the credulity of the masses." Where FDR and Hitler overlapped most was in their fawning over the Forgotten Man. Fascism's success almost always depends on the cooperation of the losers during a time of economic and technological change.